I'm Christopher Leiden, and this is Open Source in Shanghai with Yu Hua. He's a giant of the literary life in China today. He's got a critical eye and a popular touch. He's got an honest face, a tragic vision, an easy laugh. I know him as much as anything through the long-suffering hero of his novel that became the brilliant film To Live. I told Yu Hua that that movie and its central character reminded me somehow of Charlie Chaplin. He smiled and he said, well, of course, he'd studied the Chaplin archive. If the hero of that novel and movie, whose name is Fu Gui, were alive today, Yu Hua said he would most likely be among the victims of the capitalist revolution. Fu Gui, he said, would have lost his land and been displaced as a farmer. He might be living precariously in a tiny and unsafe apartment in a city. But nonetheless, he'd be tidy, maybe cheerful, and indestructible. It's a main theme in much of Yu Hua's work and our conversation that China is hooked for a century now on something like an addiction to revolution. And revolution, he reminds me, with heavy irony, quoting Chairman Mao, is not a dinner party. It's an insurrection, an act of violence.
My personal feeling is Chinese people just like revolutions. If you see the 3,000 years of national history of China, you can see the Chinese history can be summarized in a way that you establish a dynasty and you overturn it. You establish a dynasty and overturn it. Market transformation is also a revolution by itself. It's a pure economic transformation. In a lot of ways, it's similar to the Great Leap Forward. You can see all over China, it's like a construction site, you know, all over China, it's the same, in the same style. It's really weird that, you know, in all this cities and places in China, you can see buildings being teared down at the same time and being constructed at the same time. So it's a revolution by itself. And at the exactly same time, high-speed railways are built, highways are built, chemical factories are built. Even more recently, how we solve the problem of environmental pollution is a revolution by itself.
Well,
what really troubles me about the revolution today is not a secret in China anymore. It's about the air pollution in China, environmental pollution in China, the food safety in China. Almost all the problems exist in today's society is caused by the too rapidly developing economy. The economy developed in a way of revolution.
In a pithy book of essays that was published in the U.S. 4 years ago, Yu Hua wrote that a simmering rage is the emotion that links Chinese people. Today, he says, it's worse than anger. It's a fury that breaks out often in vicious attacks in schools and on public transportation.
This kind of anger become more and more extreme, and it become a little bit scary for me. It used to be people just targeted at the government. They break the doors, windows, burn their cars. But now they are more and more targeted at common people. Nowadays, people don't have hope anymore. They don't have the same hope as they used to have. People's thoughts become more and more schizophrenic.
People also speak, though, of prosperity. Their lives are better economically. There's less extreme poverty. Does this count? Does this matter?
When we see how rich China people are, you couldn't see how big an economy we are. However, we should see the rank of average GDP of Chinese people. We always rank roughly around 100 in the world. We move up a little bit, move down a little bit, and the best we get is around 90. I think the real way to evaluate how good Chinese people live is to look at the average income of Chinese people.
How do you measure the spiritual, the human damage of the new revolution to family, to identity, to human sovereignty at an individual level? What's going on?
Speaking of the damage on family, if we compare this capitalist revolution to cultural revolution, of course, in Cultural Revolution, the family were also destroyed in a large extent because, firstly, a lot of intellectuals and capitalists are being prosecuted. A lot of families are destroyed. However, the population that are with this incident is relatively small. However, in this economic revolution today, the population that is involved in the divorce is really large. The divorce rate in China almost go up as the GDP go up. The change of the economic structure really makes the structure of family unstable. The concern of human rights among people have not gone up. People are actually less and less concerned about human rights. Unless human rights are concerned with their personal profits, they don't really care about that. They care about their monthly income, daily income. The influence of this capitalist revolution have a really bad influence on the human rights in China. This revolution make Chinese people profit-driven. They care less about other people, which also means they care less about the country.
Xi Jinping speaks of the China dream, Chinese dream, and nobody seems to know just what he means. I want to ask you, what is your China dream?
After this China dream thing came out, a friend of mine called me. He said, oh, you know, everyone is talking about the dream of China. I have a dream. Before I die, I want to vote for the president of China. And I replied, well, it might not be a dream of China, but it's definitely a dream that is dreamed in China. So my understanding of China dream is dreams that are being dreamed in China. Those are only dreams.
Yuhua, I want to talk about Fugue in the movie and the novel, To Live. You have created one of the great characters of modern times. He's a young man who gambles in the 40s. He's an artist, he's a performer, he's an actor. He fights in the War of Liberation, first against the communists with the nationalists, then he turns. In The Great Leap Forward, he loses his son, really, to industrialization. And in the Cultural Revolution, he loses his daughter. I want you to imagine Fugue in the market revolution today. What would he be doing? What would he be suffering? What would he be learning?
In my point of view, if Fugue live on to today, he must be a loser in this market transformation because he's too honest, too kind, cannot catch chances, and don't want to do bad deeds. In a great transformation like marketization these days, if you don't want to do bad deeds, you cannot get success.
Where would Fugue be living today?
If Fugue lives on to today, I don't think he will live in his old home because he will be a farmer who have lost his land. He will be living somewhere in the city, in a tiny apartment, somewhere that have been forgotten by people. I have seen that a lot of people actually live in precarious urban spaces in China, those houses that are unsafe for people to live.
How is it that you can read the book To Live in China, but you can't see the movie?
If you live in China long enough in those hotels, you take your luggage in a room and you can see a cigarette box on the table. However, beside that, you can see no smoking. That is China, a cigarette box and no smoking sign, side by side. So the novel is like the cigarette box. The movie is the non-smoking sign. That's the relationship between them. They are put side by side.
We say it's a country of hard rules and creative rule breaking at the same time.
I can say that China is a place full of contradictions, paradoxes. The rules are there, but you can violate them anytime you want. China is also a place that very different things can coexist at the same time. You can hardly imagine this. However, it's true.
I learned in China that, of course, you can't see Google, you can't see Facebook on the internet, but you can also buy inexpensively a service that will pretend you're in Canada or Venezuela, and you can see everything. Somebody said to me, only in China would they ban the internet and then invent a way to make money getting around it.
The rules are set by the government. However, the creative ways to break the rule is from bottom up. I have to say that Chinese people's skills to climb the wall, the Great Firewall, is definitely the best in the world.
Yuhua, you write like a free spirit. You have the face of an honest man. Is this a dangerous way to live in China, or do we exaggerate that? Does the government threaten you for your best qualities as an artist?
I personally haven't been violated. My freedom has not been violated by the government. So as far as I know, I'm not under the governmental surveillance in China. However, I know Mr. Ai Weiwei is under governmental surveillance. And there is an interesting story. I own an apartment in the same building as Ai Weiwei in Beijing. One day, I walk down the stairs and see Ai coming out of his door with a guy. And I thought that might be his friend. So I came up to him and say hello. And I was chatting with him, how are things going these days? Are the government bothering me these days? He was being very ambiguous. He was like, let's talk about later. And then later I found out that was actually not his friend. It's officer from the National Security Bureau.
Was he worried or did he laugh about it?
I think he's worried about me. He doesn't worry about himself. He worried that I will also be involved in it.
The Great Leap Forward ended in a famine, a disaster. The Cultural Revolution ended in a sort of disillusion. It was just abandoned. The Tiananmen Revolution ended in repression and violence and death. How does the Market Revolution end?
I think the end of the economic revolution is pretty obvious now. It's the destroy of our homeland. We have a problem with water, with land, even with air. What left with us?
The people.
But our people are losing their health.
How about their minds?
I don't know about their mind. Today's China is almost an era that people's minds are most chaotic and schizophrenic. So I really cannot figure out what is on their mind.
The last resource of China is the Chinese people. Surely they're not destroyed.
I was half joking and half telling the truth.
We end on a Chinese paradox.
Yes, we ended on the paradox, just like the paradox of the cigarette box and non-smoking sign.
Yuhua, it is a joy to meet you, and it is a joy to watch you and to just feel your presence. Thank you very, very much. Our thanks to Shuang Lu, who was our translator in this conversation with the author Yuhua. His current book of essays from Pantheon Books in New York is titled China in 10 Words. Adam Mitchell recorded our conversation in Shanghai. Kunal Jasti edited it in Boston. For more audio postcards from China with writers, artists, students, shoppers, and others, find our website, radioopensource.org. Hang out and leave a comment, please. These conversations aren't over until you join them. I'm Christopher Lydon. Thank you for being part of the Open Source Podcast Project.